So, where are we going, Admiral? Raffi says you have no idea.
I'm working on it.
When are we leaving?
As soon as possible.
Are you breaking any laws or intending to?
I don't know. I'm not in the habit of consulting lawyers before I do what needs to be done.
The Internet, the digital frontier. These are the voyages of the TrekCast crew. Its continuing mission to explore strange new ideas, to seek out new facts and new observations, to boldly go where no Trek fans have gone before.
Welcome to TrekCast, the galaxy's most unpredictable Star Trek podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dan Lombardo. With me, Chad Waldo, Daniel Reyes.
See,
what's up?
I see that we're wearing our sunglasses, just like a good Vulcan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yeah, my elf ears aren't sticking out the side, though. I mean, that was just...
He's not a Vulcan.
You pay money for the CGI, and then some scenes you just rush, and... Yeah, good enough. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's my theory on that.
But. Well, you know what? They could be Vulcan... They could be Vulcan sunglasses, where the ears are part of the sunglasses. It goes on top of the ears. That's what keeps them on your head.
Like cat ears that people wear?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just...
Not to spoil too much of my discussion, but I don't think she's a Vulcan. I also don't think she's Romulan. I think she's from the Mirror Universe, and she has the same affliction that Lorca had.
I've seen that theory going around.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
I've got a in the news. A pretty fun fan theory for everybody.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get to that. Anything else to cover real quick before we get right into the news?
No.
Long show. I have pages. Pages.
You know why I'm laughing?
Pages.
You know why I'm laughing? I'm laughing. Oh, I'm hearing my echo.
Oh no, the echo's.
So I was laughing when you talked about your notes because I'm rewatching Picard last night, and I'm like, I should write this down. And then I said to myself, nah, Chad, I'll do that. I'll just respond to what he says.
And that's exactly what I did. I sat down in here in the office last night and I rewatched it again and I made all these notes as I was going because the last two shows that we did, our reviews, I mean, they were great. They were fine. I don't have nothing to complain about them, but I feel like we kind of jumped around a little bit and maybe we weren't forgetting some things and it wasn't real nice and tight, you know? And so that's why I did this, is just to make sure things kept a better flow and a little more tight. That's all. So
no worries for me.
So that should work. Yeah. So,
I also didn't have time to do notes. My wife had the winter carnival at the school.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's PTA president. So I had the kids all day and then had to, take my son to the winter carnival and, purchase cold pizza and hard pretzels.
Get your face written on.
Get my face painted and
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in the van here and there's all like stuff left over from winter carnival. There's tongs.
Not sure what you would use those at the winter carnival for.
Colander.
Nice.
You know what I'm doing? You know what I'm doing right now? I'm straining myself.
Oh, the dad jokes are rolling this morning. Yes, they are. Dad jokes are rolling.
Yeah, well, whatever. So
it is what it is.
Right on.
But yeah, cool. So I'm happy to be on the show with you guys today. I can relax in the van by myself for a little while.
Life's little joys. I get to go outside and sit in the van. Kids, just play with yourselves for a few minutes. Dad's going to go out and play and sit in the van quietly for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I don't tell my kids to play with themselves. No. Okay? I don't know what kind of dad you are, Chad, but no, my wife's going to be like, wow, it was a long show today. Oh, yeah, 3 hours. I'm going to do a 1-hour show. I'm going to take a 2-hour nap out here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
All right, Daniel, take it away for the news, buddy.
All right.
So since we don't have any sound effects, news. Anyways. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. First news story comes from Inverse.com, and the headline reads, obscure TNG character could foreshadow a massive data twist in Picard. So basically, this has been going jumping around Reddit, but these guys kind of all typed it up. But the idea is that these twins that we know of, Daj and the other one, the Doctor, that's not really Data's daughters, but they could be Lore's daughters. Because Lore is far more human-like than Data ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And these daughters are very human-like, as opposed to being more android-like.
So they're his nieces,
they're not his nieces. Daughters. Yeah.
So how is Lore an obscure character?
He's
only in like 4 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's Data's brother. I mean, that's kind of... An obscure character would be Bruce Maddox. He was in 1 episode.
Well, that's how they describe
him. Character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I'm just nitpicking because I'm in that mood.
Yeah. But it's an interesting theory, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
It would track with why they think it's Data's DNA, you know? So...
Daj's sister, her name is
Soji.
Soji? Yeah, Soji. Okay.
Sure I had that right. Like the Olympics.
Yeah, like the Olympics. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I say that, but now I'm going to remember.
Yeah.
You know, we got shot glass. We got
we got the Olympics.
Soji
Olympics.
Yeah. We got CSI Vulcan.
Uh-huh. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Detective O.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
What was the name of that guy that always wore the sunglasses in CSI or
CSI Miami?
Yeah,
David Caruso.
Yeah,
David Caruso. Yeah,
Caruso Vulcan.
Man,
you know what's funny? He did one season on NYPD Blue, and then he literally walked off the show to start his movie career. Mm-hmm. His movie career went.
Yep.
And then 12 years later, what's he doing? He's playing a cop on network television.
Yeah, that's all he was born to do.
Fun fact about blood. NYPD Blue, Dennis Franz lives over here.
No!
Yeah. I see him all the time.
Really?
I can tell you so many crazy stories about him because he's hilarious.
Huh. I love that show. I love that character. I think he's a great actor. I don't know if you guys watched that show.
Yeah.
But that was a pretty good redemption story. His character, Sipowicz. I mean, when the show opens up, he's a bigoted alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
Who's, you know, this close to getting booted off the job, has zero credibility on the witness stand. And, you know, by the end of that show, he's just, you know, he's a different person. He gets remarried. He's been sober for 15 years. His, you know, one of his closest friends is a gay man who takes care of his young son for him. Just
big arc. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, real life, he loves Big Lots. He just loves Big Lots. That's where you see him a lot.
You know what? You know, the Big Lots in, I think it was Albany, mm-hmm. the L was missing from the sign. So it was Bigots. It was Bigots for like a month. So to see Dennis Franz, who played Andy Sipowicz, shopping at Bigots.
Uh-huh.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right, so our next news story comes from space.com. Headline is Star Trek Online Legacy Update lets you live your Star Trek Picard dreams. You know, your dreams that you've had for about 3 weeks now. So apparently there's a big update to Star Trek Online. They've added 7 of 9 in her new look for the Picard show. So that's kind of cool. They've also added some new missions. You could also play as Discovery characters. And Sneakle Martin Green has voiced her character, so that's cool. Fun fact, I tried to get onto Star Trek Online this week. Apparently you can't get it on Mac, is what I'm finding. It says it's available, but I cannot find it anywhere. So if anybody's got...
I had it on the iMac.
I've seen that it was available before, but currently it's not.
Huh.
Yeah. Or at least I can't find a download for it anywhere.
No, you can play it on PlayStation. I think it's on Xbox too.
Probably. I'll probably.
It sucks on the PlayStation though. Honestly, I mean, it's just like, what am I looking? It's just like it looks horrible. So I can't even look at it.
See, I would rather just play it on my Mac, but whatever.
Yeah.
Our last news story comes from sci-fi.com. Headline is Master Captain's Martial Arts Moves in New Star Trek Kirk Fu Manual. So there's a new comic / book coming out called Star Trek Kirk Fu Manual. It's anime style of drawing. It's 64 pages of learning how to fight like a TV show captain. So that's coming. That's coming out next month. And enjoy. Yeah, you can pre-order it now, and learn how to fight. I guess. Good luck with that.
I like the double-fisted pound on the center of the back. That's always a good one.
That's in there. There's a lunch or the box lunch, where you got the guy and you just clap your hands over his.
I like the judo chop to the shoulder that causes instant incapacitation. It's just chop, unconscious.
The knife edge chop,
The knife edge chop, yes.
Yeah. Well, I know that from wrestling.
Oh boy.
So that's all our news stories.
Alrighty. Moving on into feedback.
Yeah, feedback. Ding, 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 ding. I don't know. That's the sound effect. We're just going to go with that.
We're working on it, people.
Yeah. So I didn't get any emails, but, you know, I did put that we were going to be recording, so we had some feedback there. Let's see. Oh, someone wrote that they thought that Jonathan Frakes was directing the third episode of Picard. I remember we reported that because that's what they said. But if you watch this third episode, he did not direct it. So that was really weird. Yeah.
Really? So he must have done 4 and 5 then.
Hanel Culpepper directed it.
So she did the first three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so something I saw going around this week that really kind of ticked me off. People are even taking polls, and the majority of people taking this poll were saying that the first three episodes of the series so far are really the pilot because they're all set up, and that's the first three episodes should be considered the pilot and not the first episode. To wit, I say no.
So I'll tell you where they're getting that. The Will Wheaton show, they straight out say that.
Yeah, well, Will Wheaton doesn't know what he's fucking talking about, because the definition of a pilot is one episode.
The lady who directed it said that.
Yeah, well.
Well, it also doesn't really work.
Yeah.
It also doesn't really work because they had a full series order before they started filming. Technically, a pilot is one episode you shoot to sell the show. So the show was sold beforehand. So there really isn't a pilot, excuse me. If you want to say,
and call it like, that, but that's not what the definition of a pilot is. So,
yeah.
There's a lot of debate in the group on whether or not the new EMH and the new captain or the new pilot are the same guy. Yes, it is.
Yeah, of course they are. It's the same actor.
I know, but there's some debate.
Why is there a debate? This is the same guy.
It was like, oh, I don't know if it's really him. It just looks a lot like him.
No, it's actually him. It's actually him. Not a twin brother.
There's three of them. There's the captain, the EMH, and the ENH. No, I'm serious.
ENH, what?
There was the emergency navigational hologram. He had a different accent the second time.
Oh, did that's he really? Right. Yeah, he did, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I think what we're going to find
is that he is the only actual crewman on this ship. Yeah. And everyone else is holographic, and the rest of our cast are passengers, essentially.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think as the show goes on, we're going to find out there's an emergency engineering hologram. There's a security hologram, whatever.
I mean,
there's an exocomp in the Jeffrey tubes. Yeah,
that's it.
If you were going to staff your ship with holograms, would you make them all look like you? I wouldn't.
No, if I was going to staff my ship with holograms and I was the only one on board, they would all look pretty damn
good. Yeah, they're all going to look like Jennifer Love Hewitt from the 90s.
I think I look like whatever good name save. Is Alexandria Daddario or whatever from Baywatch.
Yeah.
Well, we also don't know yet if like what the regulations are on holograms. I mean, they outlawed synths. Okay. The only other hologram we saw was at the library. And I think she was a very basic, not self-aware type hologram. So it may be you're not allowed to have holograms as sophisticated as the ones he has on his ship. And for that reason, should anyone see one of his holograms, he wants them to think it's him, not a hologram.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty good cover. That's pretty good cover. And I mean, he's not in Starfleet anymore. We get a little bit of his backstory, but well, this is getting into the episode. But
yeah,
go back to your feedback. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Another one was from Taryn. Does anyone catch that Narek and his sister seem to have a Jaime and Cersei thing going on?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Who's Jaime and Cersei?
Game of Thrones. They were an incestuous couple.
Yeah, they loved each other.
Yeah.
They look like they're a little close. And she clearly was a female Romulan. We can lay that to rest that she wasn't a guy.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she was born a guy and then became a female Romulan.
Well, there is no such thing as male and female, so I guess it doesn't matter.
This is new woke Trek, just so you know. This is new woke Trek.
Oh, don't get me started.
Well, that's kind of what we're here for, Daniel. We're kind of here to
get
started.
Revved up. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just waiting for the reference to a wall somewhere. I mean,
that's coming.
Wall.
That's coming.
To what?
A wall. Keeping people out, you know, just a wall somewhere or a big bad orange man or something. Yeah. You know, I'm just waiting for that reference to drop.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Or you see a scene of people in cages. Anyway, so.
We'll see a refugee camp. That's coming next
Daniel's month. Daniel's like, I'm ignoring that. I'm ignoring his ass.
Muy mal. No me gusta.
Yeah.
Anyways, a lot of people just had questions about the actual episode, so we might want to get into that as we're going into the episode. A lot of also broken New Year's resolutions, and a lot of people.
We got to hear about those.
Okay. Let's see. Daniel Brennan said, he didn't make a New Year's resolution, but always plans to have a cigar full of snakeweed smoke and the sickening sweetness of booze. So I want to know what kind of booze he has.
What's his drink of choice? Gotta tell us, Daniel. Gotta know.
Let's see, anyone else? Case Gentry wants to know if we can get Picard a chair on the bridge so he's not standing.
Yeah, that was my thought too. After watching it the first time, I didn't notice it. The second time I did, I'm like, why is he the only one standing? What's the deal?
Because there are
almost no chairs, but
he's just coming off the X-Men movies where he sat down for 6 movies straight. Right. Give the guy a break.
Yeah, he wants to stand. Yeah. He's been sitting around a chateau for 14 years. He's got to stand a little bit.
Ryan wants to know the cultural significance of the author of the books that we've been seeing so far. Like, we've seen Isaac Asimov, which is kind of interesting. And then Miguel de Umando. Those are both two big authors that we've seen. Who's the next author we'll see, you know, that they'll kind of drop hints about. My guess is Shel Silverstein in The End of the Sidewalk.
where the sidewalk ends. Yeah.
The sidewalk ends.
My two cents on that is either we're going to see the epic times of Bart Simpson, and that's where all the curse words come from, or we'll see Mein Kampf.
Yeah. It'll be the art of the deal.
Yes.
It'll be one of the evil people reading that.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be subtle.
That's good.
Yeah. Anyways.
So, you know, how about feedback from you guys? You know, we're 3 episodes in without going into specifics too much, because we're going to review the third episode. I mean, what do you guys think of this series so far?
I think I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I think just like the first season of Discovery, there's going to be a massive twist halfway through, and then everything's going to be turned on its head. And I really think that's coming, because we're, what, it's 10 episodes, right?
Yeah.
We're three in, so it's coming. It's just around the corner. So.
Yeah, I think on my take on, I mean, I'm enjoying it, obviously. I love it. But at the same time, as far as my overall critique of it, I don't know yet. I haven't really, other than enjoying it from episode to episode and some of the little things I love about it and some of the little things I just can't stand about it, overall, I don't have an overall opinion of it yet. I think that's kind of a problem, because I just don't know. Well, any time you get into a show that has a 10 arc season, and that's the entire story, is all 10 episodes, you really can't form a good, clear picture of the show until you're more than two-thirds of the way through, because you don't know where it's going. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not like an episodic one episode versus the next, like the Orville or like the original TNG and everything else in Star Trek, that you can't really sit there and say, well, I like what they're doing with the characters and I like the stories they're writing and it's cool and it's fun to watch and that kind of thing. This isn't that kind of a show. It's the kind of a show that you have to watch it for a while, digest it for a while, and really once you have an idea of where the story is going, then you can start to form an opinion. But we're not there yet. I will say that the only thing I'll say about the first three episodes being a pilot is no, that's not the right definition, but it's true from the standpoint of the first three episodes are all set up. They're all set up. And so I don't think you can really form a full, you know, blown theory or idea of what the show is until you get past that at the very least. So
yeah.
I don't know. Jury's still out. It's an enjoyable show. I think they've made some really nice decisions on what to do with the show, the look and the feel and the characters. But at the same time, I think they've made some major mistakes already. So who knows? Who knows? So I don't really have an overall opinion yet.
I feel like it lacks a distinctive voice. And I think that goes to what you're saying, Chad, in that you don't know what to make of it. As weird as this is going to sound, I went and saw that Birds of Prey movie, the Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah.
And that knows exactly what it is. Within the first 5 minutes, whether you love it or hate it, it knows what it is. It gives you that tone throughout the whole movie. And it's that consistency. Whereas I feel like Picard, it tries to go like, well, we're going to make him, the cool Picard that we remember. But we're also going to make him a detective. And then we're going to make this government conspiracy. And then we're going to make this, all these like weird little things. And he's terminally ill. So it feels more like there's a lot of people throwing their two cents in and trying to make this thing work as opposed to one consistent voice that has a vision for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have a critique about the show specific for that reason, for that thing right there, but I'll save it for the topic. So go ahead, Dan.
Yeah.
I feel like we're three episodes in, which means we're almost a third of the way through this 10-episode story. Mm-hmm. And like Chad was saying, it's all set up so far. But I also feel like this is all set up that could have been done in one episode if it was edited differently.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope this is not the case. I really hope things start to pick up, but I feel like the story that they are telling could have been told in a 2-hour movie, but instead they're just stretching it out over 10 episodes. And if that's the case, I think that's a mistake, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to qualify this by saying I love Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jean-Luc Picard. I love TNG era Star Trek. I'm about as big a Star Trek fan as there is. I mean, for Christ's sake, I host a Star Trek podcast with you two jokers. You know, I was married on the bridge of the Enterprise. I have Star Trek.
Yeah.
I have, Star Trek ink on my body, But if I wasn't hosting this show right now, I think I would probably cancel my subscription and wait a month and a half
Yeah.
And then just binge it all.
Mm-hmm. That was going to be my question for you guys. Is like, if we didn't have this show, would you be watching it weekly or would you just wait?
I'd binge. I would probably, especially after Discovery. You guys know I have a love-hate relationship with Discovery.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's just, it's so slow. I just keep waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
Just keep waiting for something to happen, and instead it's, you know, an hour of woke Trek, which gets on my nerves a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was woke Trek, but, you know, the story was being told at a faster pace, I think it wouldn't bother me as much. But to sit here and be strung along and be lectured to, I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to like it so bad. I want to love it. Let me.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I want to like, because I do like it. I am enjoying it. I love seeing this character again. I am genuinely interested in what's been going on with him for the last 20 years and what's going on in the future. I do like it. I want so much to love it, and I don't.
I think where the part of your critique that's coming in that I agree with, Dan, is a difference in viewing style. So there's a lot of people who got used to the Walking Dead story type, the Game of Thrones story type, where you're having to wait and you're getting a little bit of this story, and then you're getting a little bit of that story, and then you're getting a little bit of the story over here, and maybe one episode ties those three together or just those two over here, but over time they all start to come together. And it's a big buildup over a long time. And that's the type of storytelling and the type of television that's become very dominant here in the U.S. over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the style of which they're approaching Picard, even more so than they did with Discovery. In Discovery, it was all Michael Burnham, and you're seeing everything from Michael Burnham's eye. So even though it was a 10-episode arc or 13 or whatever it was, episode arc, it all still had somewhat of a flow because you were seeing everything from her perspective all the time. In the case of Picard so far, with the first three episodes, we're seeing a little bit of Daj's story. We're seeing a little bit of Soji's story. We're seeing Picard's story. Now we're seeing Agnes's perspective, Starfleet's perspective. And this episode, to me, was the worst out of the three in terms of clipping from one story to the next. Boom, 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 boom. They just kept moving. Here's 5 seconds about him at the chateau. Here's 5 seconds over at Starfleet. Here's 5 seconds out on the Borg cube. Oh, here's 5 seconds up on that ship. Oh, here's 5 seconds back over here at the Vasquez Rock. So here's 5 seconds back over here at the chateau. And it's like they clip around to that so fast. Like I said, I think this episode was the worst in terms of that kind of thing. But the upside or the uptick to that is that eventually all these things have to come together. They have to all merge.
Yeah, the last two episodes are probably going to be amazing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, and then it's going to be, I love this thing. It's awesome. So, you know, the leaving a little bit out and having these multiple storylines kind of going, I like that kind of storytelling. Honestly, I'm okay with that. I understand that some shows are going to be really slow and it's going to feel like nothing happened. But then later on, if they tie them together, then great. I love that. Then I'm all for it. But yeah, I understand what you're coming from, Dan. It's very different Trek compared to what we're used to with TNG, DS9, Voyager. You know, all three of those shows, I watched Scorpion Part 1 last night, and it really struck me that all three of those shows, yeah, they all came out around the same time. Even Enterprise kind of came out around the same time, although it was towards the tail end of all that. The big, you know, UPN golden era, if you want to, of Trek on television. They all had the same look. They all had the same feel. They all had the same type of storytelling. And when you remove yourself from that era, 90s, late 80s, 90s, early 2000s, and almost 20 years later now, and try to tell a story again nowadays, you do have a choice. You could do it that way. That's what the Orville did. Although I think the Orville works because they're not taking themselves seriously. They're just not. There's a lot of humor in there. You know, it's very light. But if you wanted to tell Trek nowadays, I'm not sure. I don't know. I kind of prefer that. Like I said, I just prefer this type of storytelling nowadays than what I did back then. So it's not really that big of a deal to me. But if you don't like that kind of storytelling, then yeah, I can see where you're coming from, Dan. It's slow. It makes it slow.
I'm still mad about the Lost finale. So that's probably influencing my opinion. And well, I checked out of The Walking Dead about 3 years ago. So that's probably influencing. Yeah. And I'm just going to keep talking, and I'm going to see how many times I can cut off Daniel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what
I was going to say
last season sucked. So, you know, it never really did come together that show, but you know, I
could show
that
much.
For an hour.
Yeah.
So bad.
Anyways, Game of Thrones they have confused shit. Complex storytelling for good storytelling. That's a very common trend. And actually it's funny that you bring up Lost. That's probably the first show that really did it. Because the whole mystery box, J.J. Abrams, which is actually the same company, so that's funny.
It's
the same people. That's what they love to do. And part of it too is JJ doesn't like to have answers to his stuff. Like if you go back and watch the when Force Awakens came out, and he would just bluntly say, "Yeah, we don't have a plan. We just kind of did some shit." And
then you watch
that trilogy, and you're like, "Oh my god, they did not have a plan."
Nope.
Everybody thought, "Oh, he's kidding." Ha ha. No, he wasn't. You know.
No, we got a concept, and we're just going to roll the dice and keep going and see what happens next.
Who directed The Last Jedi?
The Last Jedi?
Ryan Johnson.
Yeah. Ryan Johnson. Yeah. Okay, so J.J. was like, that's a Ryan Johnson problem. That's not a J.J. Abrams problem.
He did say something like that.
Yeah, he did.
He was like, oh, that's for the next guy to figure out. I just set some stuff up.
Not for him.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
So I think same idea with Picard. I think they kind of have an idea of where they want to go, but how they get there, they're not too sure. This is the Red Angel all over again. They kind of know what they want to do.
Yeah, I hope that's not. I would think that they would have a game plan mapped out, outlined for at least the first two seasons, because they've already renewed season two. They've already started writing all of that. You'd have to have some sort of an idea of what you're doing.
Yeah, but they look at what people say. They read the chat rooms and the message boards. And they're like, oh, they like this character. Add more of him. Or oh, they don't like that storyline. Cut it. You know.
If it was me running a production like that, and I'm watching the interwebs for who's saying what, and everybody says they love this character, that's when I kill that character.
Okay.
I mean, really. Yeah. That's, you're there to create drama. You're there to create suspense. You're there to get people watching because they're not sure what's going to happen next. You know, that's me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm also a dick, so you know.
Well, that's one way to go about it. And that does kind of work. No, for real, that does kind of work.
Daniel's like, well, that's one way to go about it, Chad.
It's the wrong way, but, you know, it's a way.
No, it really depends on the story structure. And it doesn't feel like they have a structure. It feels like they're feeling their way.
I would agree that the first three episodes don't have as much of a structure, it feels like, because they jump back and forth around too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I mean, this episode, what did we learn that was new? We learned that she can talk to the Borg, apparently.
Well, she can talk to the Borg in their native language, even if she doesn't know what the hell their species is. So that still doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Did you notice her little badge lit up, too?
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, when the Borg lady's freaking out, her badge lights up.
Great. No, I'd never noticed that.
It's like a quick second, but yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, green because of her, maybe. I don't know.
Well, they said if it goes green, run.
Run. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, they needed to play the TikTok music from when someone runs. You know, dun, 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 dun. And it's so bad, too, because, you know, this is one of those places where I could have inserted some of my sound clips today. Like talking about the directors and they don't really have a plan. And it's like, you know, the sheer fucking hubris of it.
Right.
I had that clip perfectly. And hell yeah. I mean, they're all ready to go. I was ready to just play them.
In my mind, it sounds amazing, Chad.
It does sound amazing. In post, it'll sound amazing. I'm going to add it right there.
All right.
So, oh, well, anyway. Okay. So one more thing on the feedback before we even get into the topic, because we're still in the middle of our feedback section. Don't forget the coffee account, ladies and gentlemen. Commander Felton just made a donation of $9 to us a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. Coffee for each of us.
Thank you, Commander.
Thank you.
Yep, appreciate it. So keep that support coming, because obviously we need something other than my digital audio board, which decides to flake every other day. You know, worked fine last week. This week it's not. It's dead. So we still got a ways to go. Obviously, at some point, Dan's going to have to get himself a microphone like Daniel and I have, and we really appreciate those donations.
Yeah.
Actually, I think...
microphone and my microphone.
I think I'm just going to save for a new van. So
there you go.
Really hit up that coffee account.
Well, yeah. And if it wants to be a futuristic one, then it should be a Model 10. So it's all electric, you know?
Okay.
Or the Model Y SUV. Because that's like a van / SUV, whatever.
Okay.
The Tesla.
I want the dune buggy that Picard had in the last movie.
Yes. Even better. That's even better. No, that'd be cool. Daniel, did we lose you there? Because you're like, you haven't moved for a few seconds. Oh, there you
are. Oh, no. I'm reading the synopsis of the last episode, wondering if I should just read that as we get into it, and then that way we can just go off on it.
Sure.
Okay, sure.
Go off on it. Go off or go off on it? Which one?
Well, instead of like breaking it down scene by scene, you know, like this would just cover the recap, and then we could just...
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Synopsis, the end is the beginning. Completely unaware of her special nature, Soji continues her work and captures the attention of the Borg Cube Research Project's executive director. That's way too long of a title. After rehashing past events with a reluctant Raffi, Picard seeks others willing to join his search for Bruce Maddox, including a pilot and former Starfleet officer, Cristobal Rios.
Yep.
And that's the recap.
It's funny that they give Hugh a title that long, but they can't even say like ex Borg or former Borg. They have to call him XBs.
Mm-hmm.
they have to shorten that up, but his title has to be really long. That's funny. Anyway.
Yeah, so that's the recap. That's what they had in there. I mean, that's cool that Hugh was the executive director of the Borg Cube. You know, he went from the drone to the king. Apparently.
I'm not sure how he made his way there. That's not one of the first scenes, but that scene where you see him the first time, mm-hmm. and they did his makeup for that perfect, because the outline following the side of his face on the left-hand side, or his right-hand side anyway, mm-hmm. is exactly matched up to where his implants were overlapping his face way back when. I mean, they did a fantastic job of doing that. Mm-hmm. Even his eye looks like it's drooping a little bit. It's a good job.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
Yep.
They can't get the ears right, but they got that great.
Yeah, they got the Borg right. Yeah. The Borg do look like the Borg, and the Borg's ship looks like the Borg ship. So, you know, mm-hmm. they're confused, though, between what a northern and southern Romulan is, but that's okay. So at the very beginning of this episode, we see Picard apparently just days after the Mars attack with Raffi, his new number one, or had been number one for a long time.
Every time I hear Raffi, there's like a children's folk singer named Raffi.
Yeah.
Singing about apples and bananas and ooples and banunus.
Exactly. Well, it's Raffi and JL, so that's a new cover band. God. That's a new cover band. I know. She calls him JL every 5 seconds, and it's just irritating.
That's like
she did it. She did. Yeah, it's Justice League. Exactly. No, she did it in the comics too. And I was like, please, not in the show. Not in the show.
That's but they're terrible. Doing
it. He's JL.
That's just not. Yeah.
Which is one step away from calling him Kal-El. But anyway,
hey, it's a paraphrase short round. That's Captain Picard, lady.
Yeah. So anyway, but I like their uniforms. I like the uniform. Those look nice.
Yep. Those are good.
14 years ago, uniforms look pretty good. So,
one thing I did notice about Picard's uniform, we knew he was an admiral. We didn't realize what type of admiral he was. He had 4 admiral pips.
So I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he had 4 admiral pips.
Yeah, he was high up.
Okay, so he was high up there. There's only one rank above him.
CNC.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was one of the top guys when he threw his tantrum and quit. I just thought it was interesting because he was, that was 14 years ago. So this is 20 years after Nemesis. So that's only 6 years after Nemesis.
Right.
So in 6 years, he became admiral, got promoted to, well, he was rear admiral, lower half, rear admiral, upper half. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of the other one. Fleet admiral. And then admiral, if we're going by U.S. Navy. Right, so, I mean, right. He was promoted 4 times in 6 years. He's got to be somebody special.
Right.
And then he not just only walks is he out somebody's... the door.
Yeah, not only is he somebody special, but, you know, he got there that fast because they lost so many people during the Dominion War.
Yeah, I suppose.
So there's that kind of tied in there, too. The thing I don't quite get is that the whole banning of the synths so fast, and that they've given a reason for why they banned the synths, because they had some sort of irrevocable problem with their programming. What? No, they were hacked. What the hell? I don't know, like. And she even alludes.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm trying to cut off Daniel today too. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, I guarantee that's part of the plot twist, that they were hacked, and it's a big conspiracy to not have the synths. You know. Yeah.
It's probably shot glass people infiltrating the Federation way back then.
Yep.
Here's the thing. 17 years ago, one guy put a bomb in his shoe and tried to get in onto an airplane with it. Yeah. One guy almost 2 decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, everyone takes their shoes off at the airport.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it is a knee-jerk overcompensation reaction to what happened with the synths. But it's believable.
Understandable. Yeah, it is. Well, yeah, sure. I guess so. I just don't, their reasoning for it. Well, if they were just a programming error or something, then just wipe it and reprogram it. But whatever. But you're right, Daniel, about one thing. They sure are setting up the Tal Shiar or the Romulans or something from way back in the day as a major plot twist. The Jat Vash or whatever as a major plot twist somewhere in there, but anyway, after that whole scene, we move into the part of back at the Vasquez Rocks with Raffi's little hovel, and this whole scene goes on for a couple of different. They chop it up over a few clips, but this whole scene
goes on for 3 days.
Yeah, it seems like it goes on forever, but they chop it up a whole bunch too. But the thing, I just don't. This whole scene with him there, I just don't understand at all. You know, she's vaping. She's apparently, you know, she got kicked out of Starfleet the same time that he quit, and he never once called or picked up the phone in 14 years. Does that sound like JL to you guys?
Yeah, he's a dick.
I don't know who JL is, so I can't comment on that.
Does that sound like Picard to you guys?
Yeah.
I mean, there's something wrong there. I don't get what that is all about.
When Riker left, he shook his hand and then went and sat at his desk. This guy's not emotional.
That's part of the problem.
Well, you know, it depends on the last conversation that they had. You know, we saw her on her way to the boss's office after being summoned. We didn't see the conversation that she had with him after she, you know, was demoted or what. I don't know. She said she lost her security clearance. Okay, that's not the same as getting fired. No. She didn't get kicked out of Starfleet. Mm. You know, it sounds to me like she got reassigned and didn't like the new job and maybe likely quit.
And that's why she's living in a hobble now.
But while we're on the subject of her, she's not a very good actress. And maybe it's just the type of scenes that she was in this episode. The, you know, I'm sad, I'm angry, I have substance abuse problems, and, you know, I don't know, I just wasn't buying it. And I'm hoping that she improves. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping maybe it was just this type of scene that she's not good at, which happens. There are actors who you know, they're good at this, but they're not good at this. Nana Visitor, every time she laughs on Deep Space Nine, I cringe. She's terrible at acting like she's laughing. It just it's cringeworthy every time. Every time. But I don't know, she just came off as like super whiny.
I see, and I think that's the dialogue. I think the dialogue is cheesy, especially for this, because it doesn't fit. We're supposed to be beyond money. We're supposed to be beyond like petty stuff, and all of a sudden they're just rolling around in the petty stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she complains about living in a hovel while he's in his
That's what I mean. Like, we're supposed to be beyond money.
Beans and the like. Why is she trying? I don't know. That sounds like a very. It is petty, obviously, but it also sounds like some jealousy seeping in there too. That he was able to walk away from it and did great and had a wonderful life for the last 14 years, where if she, you know, she has a horrible life and has nothing and decided to be an addict. I mean, like that's your life choice, Rafi. I mean,
that and he's a retired fleet admiral. You're retired lieutenant commander.
Yeah, I mean, come on, it's a different rank. I mean. You know, there is a such thing as equality, but there's also a such thing as no two people are really ever equal. Like, you have whatever you have, and I have whatever I have, and we need to be treated the same in the eyes of the law. But outside of that, we're not going to really ever be equal. We're just different.
We're never going to be equal. And the proof is the fact that apparently in the 24th or 25th century, they still have trailer parks.
Yeah.
And she lives in one, but how does she live in one that's on like one of the most iconic sites in all of California? I mean, you know, like it's her private park now. That's interesting.
Dude, I've had this issue too, like back when like Cisco owned a restaurant.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you own a restaurant?
Yeah.
Do you just like, if there's no money, do you just walk into a government building? Hey, I want a restaurant. Okay, here you go.
All right, hold on. Go see Phil in the restaurant department.
Yeah, yeah. We've got an empty slot. You can have that one.
Yep. So I'm going to walk down to the dock, and I'm just going to ask these guys who've been fishing all day to give me their fish.
Right,
Give me your clams.
They have replicators. That doesn't matter. They just show up.
Right. So, I mean, you know, the whole thing is kind of... There's a funny thing there, and people get their panties in a bunch about what? There's no money in Starfleet. There is money in the Federation. There is money in the future. There will always be money because there's some sort of trade system. There's always going to be some sort of bartering system. And just because people inside of the Federation, inside of Starfleet themselves, which is kind of a paramilitary organization, don't need money because they have replicators and they're being assigned to a ship and a task and all their things are being provided for them, that doesn't mean everybody else outside of Starfleet doesn't have money either. Okay, it's called the real world. It's the difference between living on a ship and being assigned, you know, your quarters and everything else, and living on a planet and deciding not to join Starfleet and do whatever else you're going to do on that planet. So
I have to point this out. So the vape pen just kills me.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Last year we made fun of Spock and his man bun, and we said, "Oh, is he gonna have a vape pen?" Ha ha ha! And we were just joking.
Yeah. Right? Here we are.
Here we are. Actual vape pen.
Yeah. Ugh. It's right there in front of your face. And here's the funny thing.
It's not just her. What's his name? Han Solo was smoking a cigar.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm okay with the stogie. That's a stogie, though. I'm okay with that. That's okay. Here's the funny thing, though. If it's going to be the era of, and please, listeners, don't take this the wrong way. I'm just using the word because it's a word that's used in our cultural dichotomy nowadays. But if it's going to be Star Trek woke Star Trek nowadays, then wouldn't you think you'd want to, like, have that vape pen blow up and to prove the problems with vaping and why nobody should be doing it kind of thing, or maybe just not do the vape pen at all because, you know, people are dying from that right now. That's kind of like saying, we're going to have this conversation at Raffi's house and she's going to be drinking Corona and making jokes about getting a virus from it. You know, I mean, it's really,
you know, now that you mentioned woke Trek, I did notice something, and I've noticed this in the last three episodes. We haven't seen any birds.
Yeah,
so finally the birdemic is over.
Yep, they've gotten rid of all the drones. Yep, you're right.
You know what else we haven't seen?
Elf.
Paddington Bear.
I got Dan with that one.
Yeah.
No, because I don't want to start a thing.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you see things and you notice things, and it's like, I don't want to start a thing, but I can't help but notice these things. Mm-hmm. All the men, there are no good alpha males depicted in this show at all. Okay.
Yeah.
Not yet.
The only male Starfleet officer depicted so far was basically a receptionist. Okay.
Who didn't know who Picard was.
Who didn't know who Jean-Luc Picard
was. Well, he was an intern.
But what I'm saying, knowing how, God, I'm going to start a thing. I don't want to start a thing.
Yeah,
but
I can hear it coming.
You know, I joked last week about the episode should be called Women Yell at Picard.
Right.
Okay, because that's all it was women yelling at Picard. But, you know, I can't help but notice things like the commander-in-chief of Starfleet is a woman. Okay, it's fine. The head of Starfleet security is a woman. Okay, fine. The only other Starfleet officer we see is the receptionist. He's a man who doesn't know his ass from his elbow. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, Rios, as soon as we're introduced to him, you know, he's a Han Solo type scoundrel. The two Romulans living with him. Mm-hmm. Okay. She is obviously wearing the pants in that relationship. Yep. She talks to him like he's an idiot. And he's cool with it. If you look at his personality, he's just like,
whatever. She's hot. I mean, I'll let her do it. She's hot.
Even so far as
even is like, you know, we have a point.
She might be way over here on the crazy scale, but she's also way up here in the hot scale, so it's okay.
He's like, yeah, I am a dumb northerner, so I kind of had that coming.
Yeah.
You know, and I know we haven't seen this episode yet, but from the trailers that we've seen, okay, we see Seven of Nine, and she's Linda Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
okay.
Yep.
We see Riker, former first officer in the Enterprise, captain of the Titan, may have retired an admiral. We don't know what his, you know. And what is he doing when we see him? He's in the kitchen washing dishes.
Yeah.
Oh, I guarantee Riker's going to be making pancakes. He just looks like he's going to be like, oh,
okay.
Picard.
And before it becomes a thing, let me just say that the reason I take notice of these things is because Star Trek was always woke. It doesn't have to become woke. Yeah. It was always woke.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Okay.
That's a good point.
We didn't, you know, when Benjamin Sisko was the captain of Deep Space Nine, you know, he was just the captain of Deep Space Nine. When Janeway was the captain of Voyager, she was just the captain of Voyager.
Right.
You know, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what someone's race or sex or whatever was. And now they're going out of their way to show these things, you know, at the expense, you know, we can't just show women are equal. Mm-hmm. We have to show that women are equal and these men over here are dumb or subservient or whatever. And I think that's a mistake. I think just lead by example. Just show that these people are competent in their positions without having to take other people down a peg. And it just, I can't help but notice these things.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But then again, I think the whole reason why we haven't seen a good alpha male yet is because Riker is so much so that it's just going to swamp everything else. The second scene we're going to see him in is him doing the leg over the chair thing. And, you know,
that's so true.
I mean, you know, so the stud will walk onto the screen and make all the other guys look like idiots. So, but anyway,
I want to see him. I want to see him sit down for dinner at a dining room table at Chateau Picard, where it's a high back chair.
Yeah, and he still stepped over it.
Where he has to get a running start and throw his leg over
it. He just tilts it back and saddles it and comes forward with it. That's what he'll do, yeah. That'll be awesome. That'll be awesome. So, well, we'll see as the show goes on. But Yeah, no. So, okay, getting back to where we were. They clip back and forth between that scene with him and Rafi for like three solid days and the cube. And this goes back and forth like four or five times.
Yeah.
That's where we see Hugh for the first time. We already talked about that. Nice look for him. So it's interesting, though, his little speech he gives to Soji about, you know, some people see the XBs as something to just be feared and destroyed. Or warehoused, as he puts it. Others see them as just tools to be used and researched and dissected and torn apart. And the Romulans have a more expansive view. They see them as both. So how is it that the Romulans can have some sort of expansive view of what they want to do with the Borg or the ex-Borg when they're supposed to just loathe and hate all things and not have any computers above, you know, up to an AI level? Like, how is that that's not a, like there's this weird disconnect here between the two.
And they've already, yeah, they've, I don't know.
It's very confusing to me that they set that up so fast that there's this major disconnect between the way some Romulans see things and the way other Rom, I don't get that. Now, obviously people can be different and have different views or whatever, different political classes, all that kind of stuff. But it's a weird dichotomy. I don't know what to make of that.
I'm wondering, like, why they're so obsessed with the Borg, you know?
Well, from a technological standpoint, that part makes sense. I mean, their empire has just been devastated in the last 14 years. They're no longer the great Romulan Empire. They've lost a lot of their standing. They've lost a lot of ships. They've lost a lot of people. They've lost a lot of territory. So from a technological standpoint, I could see why they're interested in them.
They're a resource to be exploited.
Yeah, and they even make that a point at some point that they're doing all of this to sell the technology off, and it's a resource. Yeah, it's just like mining a mineral on an asteroid or something. That's what they're doing. So again, that's another dichotomy. That's like, okay, so what are they doing again? Like, is it just a resource to be exploited, or do they have some more overarching, bigger view for them, or do the shot glass people just want to destroy the whole thing? I don't understand.
Did you guys see that? That Easter egg video I sent you guys from Screen Crush, the latest one?
Yep, I watched that one.
Okay. So the guy brings up a pretty good point about the Romulans and the Borg. How even Hugh says in it that these are the only Romulans to ever be assimilated. The handful that they have.
Yeah,
that he knows of.
Yeah, he says that I know of. And so that's the only caveat. When I watched the first time I watched it, I was like, no, that's not right. And the second time I watched it, I caught up that he picked up that caveat, the whole that I know of. And he's right from his standpoint. He doesn't know any different.
Right.
But I still don't quite believe that there's something innate in Romulan physiology that's been around for thousands of years that keeps the nanites from really being able to integrate them. That's the thing about the Borg. They're setting this thing up already where somehow the Borg and the Romulans have a similar connected past of some kind.
Yeah.
You're retconning the Borg's origin to have been originated by the Romulans is going to really piss me off.
Answer those questions. It's better that it's a mystery.
Yeah, just it's a mystery. Leave it open. That's fine. It could be mythology or news, as Ramda calls it, which I think is funny. But
I didn't quite get
Soji's response to that, but whatever.
Yeah.
If there's something biologically about the Romulans, that doesn't make sense. Because biologically, Romulans and Vulcans are almost identical. You know, they have that shared lineage. So much so that, you know, when the, what was the episode? The Drumhead, where there was that crewman Simon Tarsus, who was one quarter Romulan and was being raked over the coals for it because when he applied to Starfleet, he said he was one quarter Vulcan. Well, you know, nobody was ever able to tell in every physical he ever had. No one was ever able to tell that he was Romulan and not Vulcan. So I don't know. We definitely know of Vulcans that have been assimilated. Tuvok was assimilated.
Yeah.
It didn't break the collective.
Right.
No. It didn't break Tuvok either. It has apparently these Romulans. So I mean, there's another even more glaring point. Like, we know that so far in Borg history, they've been around for thousands of years, and we know that they're from the Delta Quadrant. That's originally where they're from. I mean, that's their whole backstory. That doesn't mean that the Romulans couldn't have ran into them at some point in the past, because obviously the Romulans have been a spacefaring society for a long time. How long? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But a long time. I don't know if it's been thousands of years. It wouldn't
Maybe
make
they
sense.
Have a pretty expansive government or empire.
Yeah,
so.
but if that's the case, then why wouldn't the Vulcans? I mean, you know, if they've got a shared history of some kind from somewhere, maybe they're the same species tens of thousands of years back. Then they had to have come from the same area of some way or shape or form. But
well, we know that the Borg came to power in the Delta Quadrant. We don't know that they originated in the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, if you think about it, you know, the United States is arguably the most powerful country on this planet, and it's a former British colony.
Right, so, right. Yeah, but I just don't. Yeah. I hope they don't try to retcon the whole thing with the Romulans created the Borg and it went wrong, and that's why they hate AI and all this synthetics and all this other stuff.
Time travel will come in at some point.
Yeah,
time crystals.
Yeah. I like that meme that's going around where Data has like this techno babble thing that's like three sentences long, and then you see a picture of Pike and he just says two words, time crystals. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. Yeah. Between, you know, the way the techno babble, that is the same thing, but you know, it's funny. It's funny. Mm-hmm. Anyway. All right. So then they jump back again, because this is, again, they jump all over the place. There's one thing that that Picard says to Raffi while he's at the at her hovel that stuck with me too, where he says, where he says that it appears that the Starfleet was complicit in the attack on Mars, as if there were people in Starfleet who knew about it and let it go ahead.
Oh, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, they did say that.
He did say that. I forget exactly how he worded it, but he did say that.
Yeah, but it's something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I would believe that. I would believe that, and I'll tell you why. They made it a point to let the viewer know that this attack happened on Christmas Day, when nobody was at work. I don't want to say nobody.
Only skeleton crews that had skeletons in their closet at work.
You know, hey, mm-hmm. if we're gonna sacrifice some of our people to make this happen, let's do it. You know, let's sacrifice 100 people, not 1,000 people. So let's do it on this day.
Right.
Yeah. And if there are enough influential people of power wanting to get them out of the Romulan rescue mission, and or the Tal Shiar had somehow infiltrated Starfleet from the standpoint of they were posing as Vulcans and actually they were Romulans, then I guess there's a lot of ways that could make sense. I mean, there's always different kinds of conspiracy theories around Starfleet and who's doing what and who's really in control and that kind of thing. So, I mean, that's fine. I just think it's an interesting little throwaway line. It's almost like a throwaway line. You don't even think about it the rest of the episode, but it's right there.
Well, so, if I remember correctly, was the attack on Pearl Harbor Sunday morning?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think because of that, the casualties were a lot less than they would have been if it was, you know, Tuesday at 11 a.m. And, you know, to this day, there are people that say that our government was complicit in letting that happen. Mm-hmm. Not going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, the War Machine wanted us to get involved in that because they could make more money. So yeah, that's exactly right. That's how Vietnam started. That's how the Cold War started. Yep, all of it. Mm-hmm. CIA killed JFK.
So, I mean, we already know that Starfleet is not above this. We all saw the Undiscovered Country where they compiled, they conspired with the Klingons to keep the Cold War going.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That all makes sense. That all makes sense. So, okay. Obviously, Raffi tells Picard, no way, not going with you, don't care, whatever. And as soon as he leaves, she starts doing research. So, you know, vaping some more. I did like the little Easter egg they threw in there. Yeah, I did like the little Easter egg they threw in when she was doing that. There was text glowing on her screen that said Gorn egg.
Yeah.
I threw that in there. That was kind of interesting. I've never seen a Gorn egg. That'd be kind of interesting to see. I'm assuming it would be green, but who knows? And then she comes up with this free cloud thing, which looks like a gambling planet, I guess. I guess we're going to be going to a casino like in The Last Jedi. So
I hope it means more than The Last Jedi.
No shit. So, yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't quite get that. But anyway, whatever.
So that's what free cloud is? We know that?
Well, I mean, the text comes up and says free cloud, and there's dice being thrown underneath the text. So I'm assuming it's a gambling planet. But, you know, it's probably run by the Ferengi. And Lord help us if the Ferengi show up looking like Targs or something and not Ferengi.
They better not mess with my boys.
If they show up, I'd be happy to see them. It's been a while since we've
I'd love to see them.
I'm interested in seeing that.
I want to see Quark show up. I want to see Armin Sharon show up as a surprise cameo as playing Quark on Free Cloud. I would lose my mind. Yes, that would be awesome.
That would be great.
That would be one of the best parts of the show so far if that happens. I mean, there has to be more little cameos that show up just for, I mean, come on. They don't want to have a cameo every single episode or whatever, but if you're going to a gambling planet, you better have some Ferengi there. So,
Just saying.
Play some Tongo. Then we get the infamous scene from this episode right after that where we see Agnes, you know, eating her lunch like she does, because really there's nothing for her to study or research because she can't make sense. So I don't know what the whole point of her career is at Daystrom Institute. But, you know, she's got AirPods in and she's listening.
It's socialism. She gets paid whether she does anything or not. She just has to show up.
There you go. Yeah. So she's listening to the latest Michael Bublé album on her AirPods when Detective O shows up with her shades. I mean, what in the world? Vulcans don't need sunglasses, first of all, people. Someone in the writer's room needs to do a little bit of research here. But maybe that's a sign that, you know, she's a Romulan, which, come on, she has to be. Her counterpart, who's wearing a Starfleet uniform, is clearly a Romulan. So she's got to be a Romulan, too. Otherwise, the reunification went horribly wrong, and the Romulans just took over all of Vulcan. You know what I'm saying? So, which I don't see happening. But I don't know. Do you think there's any significance to her wearing sunglasses, or do you think it was just a prop to make her look cool? Oh, and by the way, guess who that lady is who's playing Commander O?
Oh, it's the girlfriend from Karate Kid 2.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yep. The love interest from Karate Kid 2. Yeah. What was her name? Samuko or whatever?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
I'm wondering why she is a Commodore and why she isn't just an Admiral. Because the thing with that rank, Commodore, that is essentially a captain who is in charge of a fleet, but is not an Admiral. Okay.
She's intelligence,
and she is wearing gold, which means she is not in the command track. So it really doesn't make any sense. We've seen a couple of admirals wearing gold because, you know, he's an admiral at Starfleet Security, and while he doesn't command a fleet or anything, he still holds the rank of admiral, so he has his admiral rank, but he wears the gold uniform. Her being a Commodore, it doesn't make any sense unless they establish later on that intelligence has their own separate fleet. But even then, you would think she would be in the command track then.
Right. Well, she's fleet intelligence from the standpoint of intelligence over all of Starfleet itself. She doesn't necessarily have to have a fleet to be a Commodore. Even though I know the naming structure there kind of seems awkward, but you know, if you've got a Commodore over a fleet, well, then you're gonna have a different Commodore over a different fleet. But somehow you've got to have overarching intelligence over all of that. So, I think that's what they're trying to do there. Even though the verbiage might not fit quite right, but that's what they're trying to do is that she's the head of Starfleet intelligence, basically. That's what Picard says when Agnes shows up at the chateau after the you know, Matrix 4 reboot fight scene happens. I know Commander O. She's quite intelligent, you know, whatever. He makes reference that she's head of intelligence. So that he knows who she is. I mean, hell, he probably promoted her at one point.
I'm fairly certain the real answer is they put her in a red uniform and they went, that's too much red in this scene. Put her in the yellow one. And then that's maybe.
Yeah, that's probably
I mean, that's probably the real answer, but you know.
And the other answer for the sunglasses is you know, she just doesn't like bright lights. And that's it. The actress herself, you know.
Right. There you go. It was just a really sunny day, and she's just like, I don't want to take them off.
Yeah, they're VR head glasses.
Yeah,
they probably were Oculuses, and maybe that, you know, the new phase Magic Leaps or whatever, and that's they got a sponsorship for showing those, and maybe that's how they paid for the episode.
Yeah.
Who knows? So. Product placement. I'm waiting for that. Can of Coke somewhere.
Oh man. I hope it's like Demolition Man and they all go to Taco Bell and Picard is just like, oh, I love the Burrito Supreme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Picard goes to order a double decker taco and they say, well, we don't have those anymore, sir. And he goes, what? You have all the ingredients, just make one.
Yeah, exactly. Why does he have a chateau? There's no money. Who's he selling the wine?
Yeah. Yeah. How can he afford all that? Anyway.
Yeah.
Then we jump back to the freaking cube again. And just boom, 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 all over the place with this episode. But this then we get into the whole conversation with Ramda. Soji goes and talks with her. Hugh just stands by, doesn't understand how she knows all the stuff that she knows or has access to all the documentation that she has. And we come to find out later that she doesn't even realize she knows this stuff. So clearly she's got a data bank in her head that she's able to access, whether she realizes it or not, like in her subconscious or something. But this whole scene is just rife with what the hell's going on. They'll have to explain more of it later.
Is this when she passes out on her bed while she's on the
phone? No, that's afterwards. That yeah. She, okay. Yeah. Well, I have a theory on that too, but there is no mom. That's just a CGI representation of the mom, and she thinks it's her mom because that's the memory implant she has, but that's not her mom.
No, I think you're right, because the first time we saw her, when Dodge called her, I felt like the image glitched at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was, you know, reacting and changing directions or whatever.
Right. And it's doing something to them to kind of control them or keep them on whatever the mission or task that person controlling that AI of their mom has done. So I don't think that's a real person. But anyway, no, the whole thing, the whole back door with the – I thought that part was cool. You know, Romans always have a false front door, and there's always a back door. And
it's believable. It's believable because my grandma had a living room that I wasn't allowed in. It looked beautiful, but no one ever sat on that couch and that love seat.
Yeah, yeah.
Runners on the floor the floor was lava in that room. If you had to go through that room to get to the dining room, you better jump.
Yep. No, that part was believable. The tarot cards and all that other stuff. I don't know how that really fits into Romulan culture or mythology, but whatever. It's just kind of a confusing scene. I really couldn't keep track of what the hell else was going on there. There's a lot of confusing babble talk between her and Hugh. So I don't know, that scene doesn't, I don't know, other than the back door thing that I thought was cool. The rest of it was kind of confusing and I don't know where they're going with that, other than obviously she knows things she doesn't realize she knows. So
I hope we get some blanks filled in on Hugh. You know, the last time we saw him was, Descent Part 2.
Yeah.
And he was the leader of these, or he was going to be the leader of these former Borg drones that were going to attempt to build their own society on this planet. And then suddenly he's on this Borg cube that was the, you know, the last, whatever they said, it's the last cube to, I don't know.
They just said it disconnected. They didn't say how it was.
Yeah.
Collective. And Ramda was on the last ship to be assimilated by that cube, and somehow she knew that.
Yeah.
But I don't. Yeah, there's a big hole there, and maybe that's one they leave open and never go back and fill. But
yeah, like was he on that ship, or was he leader of this Borg society? Which, you know,
and then they brought him over because he's an expert.
Yeah. Like, did he? You know, what happened with that Borg society? Did they become? Yeah. You know, a part of the larger community, and you know, they have their own culture now. And
I feel like all that's going to be a book that you can buy after season one comes out.
Yeah, you're probably
right. Hear the backstory of you. Yeah. Read this book.
Oh, Lord. if it's anything like the Discovery War or the Enterprise War book, holy crap.
Is that bad?
Just, well, yeah. I had Angry Chad for That's 45 right. minute review yeah. of that. For those who are members of the Coffee account, you want to go hear Angry Chad for 45 minutes, rail against that freaking trash mm-hmm. of a book. Go do that. I mean, good grief, you know, but anyway, hell, you'll only have to pay me 10 grand and I'll write that book as far as Hugh's background and everything else. It'll be fantastic. But anyway, so no, I think it'll probably be the latter where, because at one point Hugh refers to everybody has mistrust of the XBs. Nobody seems to care for the XBs. So obviously everybody's got a running name for them and there probably is a planet or a space station or someplace somewhere. Around the area of the Alpha and Beta Quadrant where the XBs all kind of come together because they're outcasts everywhere else. And maybe that's how they got hired, or he got hired along with, I'm sure there's others of his kind walking around around that cube working for the Romulans. And they got hired. It's a gig, if you will, because they would be experts. Because obviously Hugh figured out how to get the rest of his crap off of him. A lot more crap off of him from the last time we saw him. Last time we saw him, he was almost still fully Borg. You know, very little they could do for him at that time. Obviously, things have progressed since then. Now he looks mostly human. He almost looks like a little bit of an augment, like what's her name on Discovery, the Helms lady. Amy Couture plays her. I don't know what the name of the... I still don't know the names of everybody in Discovery yet, because who cares? I mean, there's no real story for some of these characters, but...
They're just there.
They're just there. Yeah, it's sad. Yeah. But the one they really spent the most time on, Arium, they killed. You know, so anyway.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they replaced her. We didn't even realize it.
Yeah, replaced her. And brought back the original actress to play her replacement.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, this thing just goes full circle. But anyway, after that, we get this the shot, the first real good glimpse of what Captain Rios's ship looks like, which... It's not like the closest thing I can compare that ship to of anything we've seen in Trek before is, I don't know the name of the episode, but there's an episode where the Enterprise comes in TNG where they come across some little black ship that is just overpowered beyond belief. And they don't want to try to fire on it because they know they can't penetrate the shields. They know its weapons would just totally rip apart the Enterprise. And Picard tells Worf to just give him a warning shot. And the one single shot that Worf fires blows the whole thing up because their power grid is overpowered. It just remember that. I don't know which episode that was, but that ship from that episode looks an awful lot like this ship. And that's about
they probably turned it upside down. It's the same model.
Yeah, it's the same model. They turned it upside down. Right. So it looks cool, but I don't think it's going to be an iconic ship. We talked about this before. Is the new ship that Picard's going to be running around be an iconic ship? No, this looks like a garbage ship.
It's not, because we don't even know its name.
Nope.
Right?
They're not even going to name it. No. Yeah. No. Well, it's the emergency. It's the emergency ship hologram.
They'll give it a name.
They're just floating in space or inside
it's the Rios around a hologram or something like that.
Yeah. So anyway, but
Well, it's unregistered, so it doesn't have a name.
That's true. Yeah. It is unregistered. It is unregistered. True.
He's running around in a stolen truck with no plates on it. Yeah. Just waiting for...
he's Picard, the sovereign citizen.
That's it.
Yeah. He's just traveling. He's not driving.
But... So does that mean Starfleet does traffic stops? I mean, if they see a ship flying by and it's got no plates and no inspection sticker on it,
I mean, they mentioned that in DS9.
They got to have traffic
about,
control.
They talk about stopping ships and inspecting them.
They've got to have traffic control of some kind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure that ship is registered. It wouldn't be hovering over Earth and people beaming back and forth, you know, and no one knows what it is. I'm sure it's registered of some kind. And maybe he's not exactly an illegal alien. but at any rate... they're
saying Picard pay him because he had to hire him, is what they said.
They keep talking about hiring him. Yeah,
yeah.
He's paying him in wine.
Oh, yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
You're boozy.
Yep, and it's the 1892 wine or whatever Raffi refers to it
you
as.
You know,
yep.
I watched the, I don't even know what it's called, the Will Wheaton show. I watched show.
Yeah,
and he interviewed the actress
yeah.
who plays Raffi.
Oh,
and
yeah.
she gave some of Raffi's backstory and, you know, how she sunk into substance abuse and depression and all that after losing her job. So, you know, she's a depressed, drug abusing alcoholic, and Picard shows up and he's like, I brought wine.
Yeah.
Yep. Picard's an enabler.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's just using people he doesn't really care about because he doesn't want to use the people he does care about.
I saw that interview too, Dan, and like the entire time I thought about, like, sometimes they'll tell actors, yeah, just come up with your own backstory. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's totally what she came up with.
Yeah.
It's nobody told her that this is the story.
So, it's funny she's saying all that to Will Wheaton, who has a similar story. Anyway.
Yeah. So. I think Will Wheaton's just hoping for a guest spot at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
The Traveler has returned.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Ghostbusters reference. Anyway, then we get the attack on the chateau where we see the Matrix 4 style, all leather clad, Trinity look, helmet included and everything, flipping, running around. You know, the only thing about, there's two things about this scene that I don't, all of it's fine, but there's two things that just really hit me that I don't like. And the first is that they apparently have phasers just stashed everywhere. Like, they're grabbing phasers from under desks, from under chairs, from under other tables. I mean, they're just all over the damn place. I mean, like, really? The house was just armed to the teeth? I mean,
Picard that believes particular in room? Home, in home security.
Yeah, exactly.
It was shot at my house.
Oh, is that what it is?
No, but apparently no one's...
Now I'm terrified to go to Dan's house.
Not to make things political yet again today, but apparently in the 24th century, no one's lost their Second Amendment right to carry their own phaser.
No.
Apparently not. Either that or they don't give a shit, because I think those were Romulan phasers.
Yeah. Those were disruptors. Yeah, those are all Tal Shiar. Yeah, those are all Tal Shiar phasers. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. That's funny.
Do you think the Tal Shiar put them there, like those people, and not Picard? Picard just kind of knows about them, but doesn't really care.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure Laris and Jabon put those there. I know their names now.
Yeah,
I'm sure they put those there. I mean, they're Tal Shiar.
Crying out loud, you know. It doesn't make sense for a 90-year-old man. All right, put one under the desk so when I have to jump behind it.
Yeah, yeah. No, they put that there for him. Yeah. I mean, they're there for a specific reason. Yes, they are kind of his butlers. Yes, they are kind of his caretakers, but they are there more so for the great Jean-Luc Picard, and we are going to take care of him and protect him because of who he is, what he did, and what he tried to continue to do, and lost his job over it. And he saved us from certain death.
They have a Wookiee life debt to him.
Yep, yeah, they do.
I want to know why they feel they need to protect him so much.
Well, that also makes it strange that they didn't go with him. That they're just like, you know, we'll feed the dog, we'll pick the grapes.
Yeah. Well, they got to take care of the beetles. They got to get the beetles off the grapes. That's why. He's got to find a way to pay for his adventure, and that only comes from the wine. So they have to continue to make money for him to be able to fund his adventure. See?
Do you think he uses pesticides to kill the beetles, or do you think he harvests the beetles to sell them to the Ferengi?
It's all organic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's all organic, and it's harvested for the Ferengi.
It's not GMOs.
Yeah. There's a more legitimate reason, though, why they can't go with him.
Oh my God! I want to see Rios using beetle snuff. You know, if this is truly woke Trek, then he would have tried some Ferengi beetle snuff and not been repulsed by it.
Right.
Oh, did you see that meme where it's like angry Sisko, and it says on the top hates racism, and then on the bottom it says also hates Ferengi.
Yeah. Yeah, I sent that to you guys.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yep. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Thank you for sending that. I enjoyed that.
Yep, yeah, that was good.
It's accurate.
It is very accurate. Yeah.
You can do the same thing with Miles and be like Cardassians.
Yep. But there's a more legitimate reason why those two cannot go with him. They probably can't leave the planet. He brought them there under his protection and auspices, and the minute they leave, you know, maybe they're wanted by the Romulan Empire. They're wanted by
the Romulan Empire. Yeah, but
there's
obviously Romulans operating on Earth. If they had a price on their head, they'd be dead already.
They would. They would. That's true.
You know, the only reason what's his name is not dead is because he dropped a plum on the floor because he's an oaf. He's putting it in the bag because, you know, oh, I'm a white male. I got to be an idiot on this show.
Yeah. And that's as soon as the shot's fired. Oh, and the second the shot gets, it's almost as if at the exact same moment that the shot is fired, he says, the alarm must be disabled. I mean, it's like instant. Like that's a little fast for some dumb.
They got to cover all their bases right away, apparently.
They do. Yeah. They do. But. Yeah. The only other part of that scene that I don't like is the whole flick of the head to the Romulan that's still alive, you know, stubborn northerner. Now, let's talk about this for a moment, okay? I'm going to do a deep dive. And this is one of those ones where I had a clip where I said, I did a time suck audio clip from Dan Cummings saying that.
Oh, nice.
We're going to do a deep dive now into cultural diversity and genetic diversity. So if you're any species, human, Romulan, Klingon, Vulcan, I don't care what species you are. If you're on multiple planets strung across the galaxy, all over the place, for any length of time, you're going to have something that's called genetic drift. Okay. Yep. It's going to happen. And there's going to be some people that look different than other people. Genetic drift happens right here on Earth. We have white people, we have black people, we have Asian people, we have Hispanic people. We have Indian people. I mean, there's so many different skin tones that, you know, but we're all human, right? And that's genetic drift. You know, height differences, weight differences. We're all tall and fat here in America. You know, everywhere else, they're short and skinny.
Well, I'm not tall.
So, well, you're from South America. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
I'm just talking about genetics.
Not South America.
Yeah, I know. I'm just talking about genetics. And I'm British, technically. But anyway. So... But it's funny, I have 1% Nigerian blood. So that's interesting. Yeah. I'm more black.
I'm not sending you any money. Stop emailing me.
Nigerian prince. But no, I mean, so I don't need an explanation as to why some Romulans have ridges and some Ruffles don't. I don't need the explanation for that. I don't really need an explanation for, you know, I get that the Klingons look totally freaking different in Discovery, and that's way wickedly too different. But maybe it's not. I mean, there is this thing called genetic drift. So I'm not really, I think I'm kind of over that. But in terms of the Romulans with their ridges and they're not, it didn't need to be explained as a northern versus a southern thing, because if you're on Romulus, you're going to look different than a Romulan that's six generations removed on another planet that has a third the gravity as Romulus does. You're going to look different. Guess what? You're going to be taller and you're going to be thinner. Period. It's called physics and genetics. So, you know,
I kind of liked it in that it was one throwaway line that you know, there, it's done. We addressed this.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about it ever again. So in that respect,
that's true.
In that respect, I liked it. You know, and if you want to think about what is it? The northern ones have the ridges.
Ridges, yeah.
Is that,
yep.
Yeah, that's okay. What I say. Yeah.
You know, we still have places on this planet where there are human beings that are untouched by modern society.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So, you know, it could have been something. There could be a continent in the northern hemisphere of Romulus where, you know, humanoid life developed pretty much, you know, untouched by the rest of the planet. And that's why they looked so different. And just, you know, at some point they came out of the Dark Ages and joined the rest of society. But because so much time had passed and they had, developed so differently for so long, it's still present. I don't know. It makes sense to me. You don't like it, but you know,
the other part of it doesn't really matter, honestly. But the other part of the reason why I don't like it is, you know, if the Romulans and the Vulcans are supposed to be so similar over time, then there's obviously genetic drift between those two races as well, right? So I mean, I don't care. I think it's okay. It's fine. Whatever. They're all, there's going to be multiple different looks for someone who's of one species versus, you know, one species period, let alone versus another species. So,
right.
So I really don't, I really, at the end of the day, I really don't care. Because everybody's going to look different depending upon where they grew up, what planet, from what planet to one, let alone a region. I mean, look at Australia. Look at all the marsupials on Australia and all the other animal life and plant life that's there that's nowhere else. Right. So, you know, and it's even when you go, you know, what is it, 100 miles south of Australia and now you're on Tasmania, it's different there. So, you know, and it's only 100 miles away from Australia. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think they really needed to make a big deal of it. If people look different, they look different, whatever. But you're right from the standpoint of it was one throwaway line or done with it, no more conversation about it again. That's it. Explained, moving on. That's fine. That's fine. So, okay. Then we flash back to the Borg cube again. You know, just
all this over is the such place. A long show already.
It is. So... then we're back on the Borg cube, and this is where we see I don't know what her name is, but it's the spy essentially that's reporting to Commander O, and now she's back in her normal self with her ears and her eyebrows and everything else. And they're talking about whatever Soji is, and this is kind of a throwaway scene except for the fact that now we know she is truly a female Romulan, and apparently there's some sort of force use going on in the background with these cubes flying from one side of the aisle to the other in the background. Like, what in the hell was going on there? Things are just magically moving from one side of the hallway to the other, and they just keep going back and forth. I don't understand what that backdrop was about. But
those were exocomps.
Why not? Know. Why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're here. You got someone who's part of the shot glass society who doesn't want anything to do with higher end AI, and she's on a Borg cube, and there's things randomly moving themselves around in the background, and she doesn't even notice. So, anyway, so
it all makes sense.
Yep. Then we see Soji exactly, and then we see Soji pass out on her couch when she's talking to her fake mom.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that. You know, so there's some more detail that's got to be thrown in there at some point. But
somebody pointed out that you can see the mom in the background sometimes of the Borg cube. Not like she's just working there.
I didn't notice that.
I didn't have it either. They might be lying, but
I think this is one of these shows where when it's all said and done, it's going to be fun to just sit and watch the whole thing all over again, back to back. I think
sure there's stuff that we don't see right now that's gonna be big later.
Yeah.
Yep. And then when you go watch it again, you'll be like, oh, you know. So.
Yeah.
But at least I know from this standpoint, it'll be watchable the second time through, as opposed to per season of Discovery. Anyway. Okay. Then we can skip back to the ship again because that was just, you know, we had to be over here for 30 seconds. Now we got to be somewhere else for 30 seconds. And this is where the. It ends, the episode ends, but this was a great scene, though, where you hear the original TNG theme song playing in the background, and they've kind of updated it, the sound, obviously, and then, of course, Picard says, engage, and off you go.
And Raffi rolls her eyes.
Yep, Raffi rolls her eyes, and but she's there. She shows up, even though she didn't want to go, and even though she's going, she says, oh, no, I'm just along until we get to Free Cloud, and she doesn't tell them why they're going to Free Cloud, which obviously they're going to Free Cloud because 2 seconds ago she said, well, Bruce Maddox is on Free Cloud, and then everybody's like, well, why do you want to go to Free Cloud? Well, I just said Bruce Maddox is on fucking Free Cloud. What the I mean,
yeah.
What the, I mean,
were you listening?
Yeah, I mean, what the I don't understand this. Like, where's the confusion coming from? Why I don't anyway, so that's funny. I think that's his aromatic syndrome coming in where he's being forgetful. I don't know. But Agnes is the same thing, too. Like, she asks, well, why do you want to go to Free Cloud so bad? I just fucking said I found Bruce Maddox. What? But these two are really smart, you know? I mean, so. And then, of course, we got a little bit of the trailer for the next episode, which it looks like they throw in a lot of shit in the next episode, which might be the first directed by Frakes. I don't know. But
Picard looks like he looks like he's owns KFC.
Yeah. to welcome everybody to Jurassic Park.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Well, it looks like they're on the set of Middle Earth, because this is where we're going to see the Romulan guy come into play. Yeah. I don't know what he... Apparently, Picard knows who he is. They make that in that trailer. It seems like he knows who he is, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
We shall see.
I'm guessing that, you know, he went forward with the Romulan evacuation on a smaller scale, and this is a colony that he helped set up.
Probably.
Which is why they seem to love him so much.
Yeah, but how come it has a sign that says Romulans only?
They are the Romulans.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. Romulans have been the assholes of the galaxy.
Yeah.
For hundreds of years. Okay? And now there are millions, if not billions, of Romulans out there who are looking for a new place to call home. Yeah. I don't know if the rest of the galaxy is going to be so receptive to them.
Right.
This is true. There could be some racism against the, or speciesism anyway, against the Romulans at this point. Mm-hmm. That's true. I hadn't thought about them. If they had to relocate them somewhere, they would relocate them on planets that already had other colonies, and they'd mingle. I figured they just, you know, I mean, if you think about it, how many planets that would be there that would have, you know, 8 billion people on them? Not very many. There'd be a lot of planets that had a couple of cities of 20,000 or something, and that'd be it. And 80% of the rest of the planet would be empty. It would go settle somewhere on an empty area away from everybody else. But
it's a lot easier to resettle people in a developed area as refugees than to take them to a barren planet and say, okay, this is where we're going to build a new society for you. So, you know, this is going to be Main Street, start building the school, start building, you know, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So I would think initially they tried to resettle them elsewhere and got some pushback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense.
Which, you know, would you want a Romulan living next door? No way, man. I mean,
not unless I'm a back door, man.
Not in my backyard. We're going to hear it now.
Yeah, we are.
Dan Lombardo's racist against Romulans.
Against fictional characters.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm hoping it does pick up next episode, and I'm hoping it gets better. I'm also tired of saying I'm hoping it gets better.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, we're past the 3-episode pilot, so you would think
at this point, I still think it's funny that they. Well, I was gonna say, I still think it's funny that they haven't announced when Discovery's starting back up. They just said that this year, you know, and they're done shooting. They're editing now.
Oh, it'll be April. It'll come right after this show's done, and maybe they'll have. Well, we've said this before. If they're smart, then they're going to have something where Picard ends, you know, right at the first, like the first full week of the month, kind of thing, and then Discovery takes off at the end of that month.
Right. So that way, but you stick with your subscription.
Yeah. So that way, the majority of people stick with it, as opposed to whenever, like, because obviously it's a month to month, depending upon whenever you signed up. So it's not like it's the first of the first, but at the same token, they'll stagger it in some way to where people will view it as a month to month instead of when their actual date is. Because most people don't even look at that kind of thing. They just, oh, I signed up. It's, well, when I cancel, I cancel, and that's done for the month, kind of thing. They don't really think about it as the 14th of the 14th or the 10th of the 10th. It's just month to month.
If they're smart, they'll have the first episode of Discovery drop the same night as one of the last episodes of Picard. So people will, you know, they'll be logged in to watch Picard and see that there's a new, they'll get a notification that there's a new episode of Discovery.
Yeah, maybe.
That could work too. Yeah.
Yeah. Or who knows? Maybe they'll throw the first episode of Lower Decks in there out of the blue. Who knows? Or another short track out of the blue.
Oh, yeah, because those were so great.
Yeah, they could do that where they stitch together, you know, between April when this show ends and May or June when Discovery airs, you know, 2 months worth of short treks again. We have no idea. So as long as they're all about Miles O'Brien, I'll watch them.
I just realized that the Will Wheaton show is going to be all the DVD extras.
Oh, jeez.
You know that's what that is.
God.
Yeah. Anyways.
Doesn't matter. People don't buy DVDs anymore.
That's true.
No, not really. Not really. All right, gentlemen, we are like 2 hours
way
into
over.
This.
Yeah.
I need to go.
Yeah. Anything else we need to cover today, guys? I think we hit the whole thing.
That's the whole thing, man.
Yeah.
That was a pretty exhaustive breakdown there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
enjoy your vape pen.
Yeah. Everybody go out and buy. Yeah. Make sure when you're going out and doing any shopping this next couple of weeks, you head on over to the Trekcast website, you click on the merch button, and you check out some of our new merchandise, which hopefully Red Rebel pulls their head out of their ass and clears my last two updates I put up. But, you know, maybe by the time this episode comes out, it'll be there. We can get the Hell Yeah t-shirt and the
Hell Yeah.
Plastic. Yeah, and I'm going to have to insert that clip. Or the Good Morning Plastic People. Sure. One of the two. And we'll keep putting up some new merch as little memes. I don't think there was anything from this last episode that really was, other than if we could use a picture of Commander O with her glasses on, and then in some sort of neon Miami Vice type script above and below, and say Detective O. Mm-hmm. You know, that's about the only thing I could think of. But they won't let us use her face because they wouldn't. They wouldn't even let me use the words "Nerd Alert" with the chevron around it.
Right, the chevron's copywritten. That's why.
Yeah.
What chevron?
Starfleet Google insignia.
Starfleet. Yeah.
Oh, the Delta. Yeah.
Yeah, the little W things around it, not the actual Delta, but yeah. So maybe I could make another one where it just looks like trapezoids above, below, and to each side. I mean,
what about like the Nerd Alert, but the Red Alert type logo? You know,
with all the graphics behind it, like you'd see on the actual bridge.
Yeah,
that's what I did, and that's what they took.
Oh,
down.
That's what you did. That they took
that's
that
what
down.
I did. That's what they took down. Yeah. Yeah. So. Someone made a suggestion, though, on the Facebook page. I just could not believe I hadn't thought of this before. We need to make a shirt or graphic that says Jordy sent me.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't think about that. So yeah, I'm working on that one where I'm going to have the words. I'm going to have the words that say Jordy sent me look like they're inside of his visor.
That might get kicked
It'll
back.
It might, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But that's coming. I'm working on that.
Yeah,
other than that, that's all I got. Go make sure you follow us on Instagram and the Twitters. That's TrekCastTNG. Make sure to email us at TrekCastTNG@gmail.com or chatiswrong@gmail.com. If I said anything that you think, if I'm offensive today, that's fine. If you want to email Dan about his offensive comments, you can email me too.
and if you want to talk about the bird drones, let me know.
Yeah. Definitely hit up Daniel. So, And that's it, gentlemen.
All right, guys.
All right. Bye.
All right. See ya. It's a great show. See ya.
Well, there you have it. Another episode in the can. Check us out at trekcast.com. Also, if you would, please subscribe to us via iTunes. Leave those reviews. Subscribe to us. We'll get some numbers, get up the list, get more listeners, do more shows, have more fun. But for now, we're all done. So live long and prosper, and we'll see you next week.